John chapter 14. We've examined the words of Jesus thus far and have learned that Jesus is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door, the gate by which we come and go and find his blessing. He's our good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. The words of Jesus beginning with verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus is the only way to God. In him is found moral perfection and eternal life. Having returned to the Heavenly Father, he is making ready an eternal inheritance for those who trust him. And Jesus will return for the purpose of taking them to their heavenly dwelling. Amen. Truth to hang your hopes on as we consider the days in which we're living. We've already seen that Jesus is talking about a time of preparation. And he says, I am going. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus declares to his followers, I am going. Secondly, he tells them, I'm preparing a place. That's in verse 3. And the assurance that Jesus gives to each of his followers is that each one, even if they lose their lives for the cause and for the sake of Christ, will be able to follow Jesus where he is going. And in that reality, we can find our stress relieved. We can find the anxieties of the present moment put to rest. And then thirdly, this wonderful promise, I am coming back. Jesus has gone, but he will return. And the return of Jesus represents the ultimate triumph of Jesus. As John wrote in his first letter, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen? There's the preparation. Now concerning himself, there's the revelation. Verses 5 through 7. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know the way you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here again, we have Jesus declaring, in a manner that his Hebrew listeners would have understood, something regarding his claim to be divine. That great I am. I've always been, I am presently, I always will be. A claim to deity. And Jesus declares himself to be the fulfillment of three great principles which were important to the Jewish people. Jesus first says, I am the way. Not a way, not some of the ways. He says, I am the way. Words are important, especially as Jesus uses them. There's a claim here to uniqueness. Now, the Jewish people talk much about the way in which men ought to walk. They talked about the ways of God. The prophet Isaiah notes in his 30th chapter that whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." The psalmist had a specific request of God in the 27th psalm when he said, "Teach me your way, O Lord." William Barclay sheds a little bit of light on Jewish understanding in the days of Jesus. And he said, "The Jews knew much about the way of God in which a man must walk. And Jesus said, 'I am the way.'" What did he mean? Suppose we're in a strange town and we ask for directions. Ladies, you'll ask for directions. Men, you'll drive around a little bit first. But suppose you're in a strange town and you ask for directions. Suppose the person you've asked says this: "Take the first to the right and the second to the left. Cross the square, go past the church, take the third on the right, and the road you want is the fourth on the left." And the man will roll up his window saying, "Thank you very much," and he'll continue to wander around until he's found his destination. Well, the chances are, men, we'll be lost forever before we get even halfway to our destination if these are the directions we receive. Barclay continues, "But suppose the person we ask says, 'Come, I'll take you there. Come, I'll take you there.' In that case, the person to us is the way, and we cannot miss it. That is what Jesus does for us. He does not only give advice and directions. I know that in our day there are those that look upon Jesus as, even now, the greatest teacher that ever lived. But Jesus is more than the sum of his teaching. He not only guides, he not only directs, but he leads, and he himself has become the way to God. He takes us by the hand and he leads us. He strengthens us and he guides us personally every day. He does not tell us about the way. He is the way. The early church declared, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name on earth, under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved." There's no other way to God. It's not religion. It's not morality. It's not being good. It's not doing good. It's not holding to some particular form of philosophy. There's no one else. There's no other way. There's only one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. A claim of uniqueness: "I am the way." Secondly, Jesus says, "I am the truth." And here we have a claim of moral perfection. There's truth in his teaching. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, you will find 29 times in this Gospel alone, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." But "I tell you the truth." Jesus said in John chapter 8 that if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know what? You will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. There's truth in his teaching. There's also truth in his being. John introduces his gospel in speaking of the one who has come. And he says in verse 14 that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of truth. John tells us in John chapter 1, verse 17, that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. If you wish to know the truth, the only truth that is capable of setting you free from the bondage of sin and death, you must come to the one who is the truth, and that is Jesus Christ. There's also truth in his revelation. The words Jesus said concerning himself. As Jesus has been brought to trial before Pilate in John chapter 18, Jesus says to Pilate, "You are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." everyone on the side of truth listens to me. I am the truth. The word of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, is absolutely reliable. And unlike men, the life of Jesus was consistent with his teaching. Jesus was doing more than proclaiming truth. Jesus himself is truth. The Old Testament principles were such as this. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Psalm 119, the psalmist says, I've chosen the way of truth. I've set my heart on your laws. Many men have told us the truth. We're cynics these days. Even when someone says to us, I'm telling you the truth, we've learned to think otherwise. Truth is not just merely because someone tells you it is. We've got to investigate. We've got to go underneath and research the claims to see if indeed what we're being told really is the truth. Many proclaim to tell the truth, but no man other than Jesus ever embodied truth. There's one all-important thing about moral truth. A man's character does not really affect his teaching of geometry. A man's moral character doesn't affect his teaching of astronomy. A man's moral character doesn't affect his teaching of the conjugation of verbs in the French language. You're capable of doing those kinds of things, perhaps, no matter what your character may be. But if a man proposes to teach moral truth, then his character necessarily makes all the difference in the world. William Barclay notes that an adulterer who teaches the necessity of purity, a grasping person who teaches the value of generosity, a domineering person who teaches the value of humility, an embittered person who teaches the beauty of love is bound to be ineffective. Why? Because their life doesn't line up with the teaching. And that is precisely where the greatest human teacher on earth these days must fall down. No teacher has ever embodied the truth he taught except Jesus. Many a man could say, I have taught you the truth. Only Jesus could say, I am the truth. And thirdly, I am the life. Here's a claim of self-existence. This is a theological concept. It can only be said of God that he was, he is to come, he has always been, always will be, and in and of himself he is sufficient for all things. And he's not dependent upon anything or any other. And here's Jesus saying, I am the life. Jesus is life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God when? In the beginning. Jesus is life. And Jesus gives life. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of men. Proverbs tell us that he who heeds discipline shows the way to life. The psalmist said, you made known to me the path of life. Few men and women, if any, seek knowledge for its own sake. We're looking often, we're searching for those things that will make life worth living for us, that will make it easier, that will make it more convenient, that will make it more enjoyable. Why do we go to college these days? Because on the other side of it, we're hoping that what? We'll be able to get that kind of job that could demand more money. Even the search of knowledge has ulterior motives or other motives behind it other than just to say, I just want to know more. True living, though, begins with Jesus. And the good news is that for 20 centuries now, millions upon millions of people from every race, every nation, every social standing, every background have found life in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Are you among them? If so, we can say amen, right? wow, God has shown his grace and that the good news was brought to my family years ago. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. And today, countless Christians willingly and joyfully serve him in remote areas of the world, in the slums of the world's largest cities, among the poor and the outcast peoples of the world. And even today, we've had this opportunity to be engaged in an opportunity to share the good news with those we don't even know. All around this world, millions upon millions perhaps hearing the good news for the first time. Jesus is the only way to God. In him is found moral perfection and eternal life. And having returned to the Father, he's making ready an eternal residence for those who have put their faith and trust in him. And Jesus is going to return. Return for the purpose of taking us to our heavenly dwelling. These questions again, because they are still as important now as they were last week. Have you placed your trust in Jesus Christ? Perhaps you have not done so as of yet. I know for myself and many among our church family, we would love to have the opportunity to share with you how you can know forgiveness of sin, to be brought into reconciliation with our Heavenly Father, and to know that you too possess the gift of eternal life. If you have done so already, then the question comes, are you following him? Jesus said, I am the way. And if he is the way, are you taking him as your master and as the one who leads you each and every day? Are you looking for his coming? Are you ready for his coming?